You're listening to SBS News.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. This is SBS On The Money for this Wednesday, the 2nd of September 2020. It's your 10-minute daily business and finance news wrap. Well, what a day. The Australian economy has officially entered a technical recession. That means two consecutive negative quarters of economic growth. In the 3 months to March, GDP fell 0.3%. And today we saw the biggest decline in history, down 7% in the June quarter to be at negative 6.3% for the year. So it ends Australia's unbroken 29-year run of economic expansion. But what's different about this recession is that it was deliberate, in that the economy was shut down to limit the spread of a health crisis. So the recession we had to have in 1990-91 followed a period of corporate excess and super high interest rates. So for more on what this all means, I spoke earlier with Richard Yetsenga, the chief economist at ANZ. Richard, how would you describe the impact of COVID-19 on the Australian economy?
COVID's caused the deepest recession in Australia in living memory. There's no doubt the economic impact has been extremely large. The good news is, because of the policy response, we haven't had kind of a financial crisis on top of the economic and health crisis that have characterised COVID.
I guess the key thing for our audience anyway is, what does being in recession actually mean? How does it impact the average person?
The GDP numbers are really just a reflection of the economic activity we're seeing in the economy. And at the moment, that's characterised by quite very weak consumption, weak investment, and a resulting rise in unemployment and fall in the number of hours that that employers are offering people. So the income shock to households has been very, very large.
How is this recession different to previous recessions, especially the one that happened in 1990-91, because this one was obviously health-induced as opposed to a financial recession?
Yeah, often recessions are a surprise. Sometimes when we're in them, we look backwards and think they weren't a surprise, but often going into recession, the recession ends up being a surprise. This time, much less of that, because really there was a policy decision around trying to shut down the economy to limit the spread of the virus. One of the differences then has been the impact on the labour market's been quite unusual. Usually recessions impact men and their employment much more than women. This time the recession has impacted often second income earners more, and often, you know, they're female.
Can we explore that a bit more? How are people feeling the recession differently in this one? Because some people still have a job and their incomes are still the same.
Look, many people still have a job. Some people have the same income. Some even have seen better income. For most people, though, income is down. But the impact sectorally has been very concentrated. Any sectors which have a lot of human-to-human contact. So that doesn't mean mining. It doesn't mean agriculture. Large parts of manufacturing have been impacted only to a limited degree. Construction. But then on the other end of the spectrum, retail, restaurants, hospitality, arts and entertainment, even some services you might have in your home like cleaning, these sectors often have a higher proportion of women or young people, often in part-time jobs. They've been impacted extremely severely.
At negative 7% for the quarter, how does Australia compare with the rest of the world?
Australia's negative 7 is a terrible number, there's no doubt about that, but Australia has done better than many other countries, even in Asia where, look, if you were to pick a region in the world where you had to locate yourself and your business, this time zone would still be your pick. In Asia, some economies have had double-digit declines in activity in the second quarter. It's not a great comparison, but Australia's done a bit better than that.
So what does that mean, do you think, about the policy response?
I think when we think about the policy response, there's a whole range of issues which are relevant here. What sort of logistical tightening you undertake to limit the spread of the virus, how effective your health response and your track and trace is, and then how effective and targeted the economic response is on the other end in response to those health policies that you've taken. I think Australia's done a relatively good job actually on all of those, and more importantly, has it learnt as it went along. The government's initial stimulus was too small, but they recognised that quite quickly and started to come in with some much bigger stimulus efforts.
Just finally, these numbers, as you mentioned, are backward-looking. So looking forward, what do you expect for this quarter, given the Melbourne lockdown, and does it make it harder to come out of the recession?
Look, the Melbourne lockdown unquestionably has set things back a bit, but the way I'd characterise it is it's set back the recovery rather than retrenched it or reversed it. Australia is in recovery. It might not feel like it, but the activity level we saw in the second quarter looks very much to be the low point. And even in the current quarter, Melbourne's probably enough to give us kind of a flat GDP outcome rather than another big negative. And then hopefully in the fourth quarter, Melbourne and Victoria are coming fully out of their lockdown and the recovery can spread more evenly across the national economy.
Richard Yetsenga there, the chief economist of ANZ. Let's now take a look at the share market today, because despite those horrible economic growth numbers, the S&P ASX 200 rose 1.8% to 6,063. The blue stocks did very well after a bit of a sell-off yesterday. Of the majors, BHP rose 2.6%, CSL up nearly 2%, Transurban added 4.3%, and AMP was one of the better performers, up almost 5% as it announced a review of its assets. For more on the day's market moves, I spoke earlier with Junbei Liu from Tribeca Investment Partners. Junbei, the market rebounded quite strongly today. Why?
Well, it's been an incredible experience. Look, yesterday market decided it's time to take a bit of profit, but today market decided it's time to move on. Even despite the weak GDP that we've seen, that we're practically in recession. Look, market is excited that we're moving forward. There's a vaccine around the corner and the corporate profits aren't as bad as this reporting season suggested.
So now that we've entered a technical recession, what typically happens to shares in this time?
What's really interesting is to notice that the share market normally leads the normal economic reality by 6 to 9 months. So that's why we've seen the share market rebound since March, because March is when it realizes it was a recession. And then since then, we've been looking forward. So usually in the recession, looking forward is that the market is thinking we're moving past it. And if the vaccine is around the corner, things will get better very soon.
And the biggest corporate story of the day, AMP, its review of its assets. What does it mean for the company?
Look, it is quite a difficult time for the business. It is quite sad to a business that's over 100-year-old and finally reviewing its entire businesses. Look, it's very challenging period. It is a sign that time has changed. It's time to break up the business. There's a lot of value in some of these core assets. And, you know, with our senior management in place, it's really time to think about what's the best value to best way, or if you like, to realize the equity value for investors. And, you know, this is probably the best way forward for its business.
Junbei Liu there from Tribeca Investment Partners. Now to the story on petrol prices. The consumer watchdog has issued a warning for fuel retailers as margins hit an all-time high during the June quarter. In its latest petrol monitoring report, the ACCC said petrol prices fell on average across our five major capitals to a two-decade low of 109 cents per litre. Now, for every litre of petrol sold, the bulk went towards taxes, around 46%, 29% to the cost of fuel itself, another 10% covered other wholesale costs, and a record 15% made up the gross indicative retail differences, which is an indicator of gross retail margins, their profits. Here is ACCC Chair Rod Sims with more.
We just want to see more transparency in pricing. We notice that it's only Victoria and ACT that do not have price monitoring schemes. And look, I know it's never popular, but you really can save money if you shop around for petrol. It's not illegal to overcharge for petrol, just like it's not illegal to overcharge for apples or anything else. And just like shopping for apples, you can save money if you shop around. Indeed, with petrol, there's price differences in most of our capital cities of 20 to 40 cents a litre that you can save by just doing a bit of shopping around. So I really urge people to shop around for petrol.
Rod Sims there, the chairman of the ACCC. And just before I go, the Royal Australian Mint has launched the world's first $1 coin designed to be donated. Now, the donation dollar features a green centre with a gold ripple. And while it can be used as legal tender, it's hoped it will remind Australians to give to charity in this current climate. 3 million have so far been produced and they've gone into circulation from today. Just remember, though, if you are using cash, especially, to wash your hands. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. That is On The Money for this Wednesday, the 2nd of September 2020. You can follow me on Twitter at Business Ricardo. See you next time.